Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
Some of the people in the gatekeeper villages, word got out that we were a Christian bunch, and they became suspicious and they sent snipers after us.
Hello, friend. We're glad you're here today to join us on Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, it may take someone just like you, with the unique skills and abilities God gave you, to do your part in the Great Commission. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead, to tell you more.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, friend, for joining us. The Mission Compass, we're pointing you in the right direction of serving God. A lot of us say, hey, I'm not qualified. Mark Griffin from GRN has got a solution for you. Just get out your cell phone. That's it. All you need is your cell phone. You're qualified for the Great Commission. But before we do anything else, we want to get our mind reset, focused on God. Bonnie Sala is going to jump right in and start us off with our reset devotional. Bonnie, over to you.
Life can be beautiful, but hard. Just ask a parent. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. A woman who had recently given birth to twins met with an experienced mother looking for encouragement and hope. The mother of two newborns sat in the coffee shop with milk stains on her shirt, feeling disheveled, fragile, and exhausted beyond belief. She was looking for the secret to thriving or some goal to hold out for, something like, it'll get easier when they turn one. While parenting evolves, it doesn't necessarily get easier. Sleepless nights with newborns are replaced by toddler chaos, middle school drama, and high school angst, all of it filled with wonder and struggle. So, what are the survival tools you need to embrace and survive the messy construction zones of life? Realistic expectations help. A wise doctor once shared this: life is difficult. This is one of the greatest truths. Once we truly know this, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer so difficult. The good news is that God has intimately experienced how hard life is and offers us help. When we struggle with guilt over mistakes, He wants to lead us into tender apologies and freedom from shame. When our kids mess up, God wants to show us how to gently teach and forgive them. When we're tired and lost, Jesus offers us wise counsel and comfort. God says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So bring your weakness to Him and ask Him to work in His power. God's strength is available for your hard, beautiful, everyday life. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friend, each morning here at Galcom, we pray for an unreached people group using the joshuaproject.net website. We just want to know about the people that need to know about Jesus. First step to reach them is praying that God would raise up workers and motivate us to do something about it. And so our communications team lead, Faye Watford, has been joining us every couple weeks to share about an unreached people group. Faye, who do you have today for us to learn about and pray for?
Tim, there's this really interesting small people group called the Badui, and they live at the foot of the Kendeng Mountain in Indonesia. Indonesia is a super interesting country, lots of remote islands, and almost 800 distinct people groups,
wow,
and all have their own identity and their dialect. So this group, the Badui, have 22,000 people, and they're quite isolated. They speak Badui, that's the name of their language, and it's a Sundanese dialect. And they follow a sort of secretive ethnic religion. But the Bible is currently being translated into their language, and GRN, whom I know we're going to talk about more in this show, has recorded some audio Bible teaching for them.
So you mentioned that Indonesia is interesting. Are these guys there? They sound pretty interesting. I mean, the secret, isolated, secret ethnic religion. Whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, this is interesting, because the community of the Badui, they're divided into three groups. and they sort of encircle each other. So the strictest and most religious are at the center of the community.
Like geographically centered.
Geographically centered, yeah. And then the other groups sort of camp around them and it radiates outwards. The Tangtu group, they're also known as the Inner Badwi. Guess where they are? They are at the center. And they are the strictest in following their traditional customs. And they even wear particular clothing. It's white or dark blue, and they have white headscarves. That's the Inner Badwi. Then there's the Penampang community. They're also the Outer Badwi. They live in settlements that are spread around the territory of the Inner Badwi, and they can be recognized by their black clothing and headscarves. The last group is the Dangka Badwi. They live outside in an area that functions as sort of a buffer zone from outside influences. The highest ranking leaders of the community are the three Puwan, and they live in the Inner Badwi settlements. And this Inner Badwi settlement is forbidden for non-Indonesians to enter it.
Wow. I've never heard of anything like this in all of the missionary work we've done around the world. So this is incredibly hard to reach then, that the Inner Badwi. So how do we know about their beliefs? And what do we know about them, the secret religion?
Yeah, so it all goes through the intermediary of each layer of the community. Their traditional belief system is based on sacrifices that they make to their ancestors. But the interesting thing that has kept them very isolated is their core belief called Pikuka. And this means that they follow an absolute set of determined traditions in their daily lives. The most important teaching of Pikuka is the concept of no change whatsoever, or as little change as possible. So it's expressed in a Badwi proverb that says, the long must not be cut short, the short must not be lengthened.
Just nothing changes ever. You don't move anything. You don't change anything.
That's right. Nothing is to be changed or change it as little as possible. So formal education for the Badwi children is seen as a violation of Pikuka.
Oh,
so they have so far refused to allow the Indonesian government to build educational facilities in their villages. As a result, very few Badwi people are educated or able to read or write.
Well, one complaint about missions is that people say the missionaries come in and change the culture. And I remember listening to a missionary talk about how a mining company came in. I think it was Papua New Guinea was the example. And a mining company came in and they changed the culture for worse because they brought in all sorts of vices and avarice and greed and prostitution and drugs and alcohol. And so the world comes into these places and affects people negatively. So how have they been able then, like you said, they're stopping the government from bringing schools. How have they kept everybody out?
Well, that's what's becoming an increasing problem for the Badwi. They have all these mystical taboos that they observe. They believe that you shouldn't eat food at night. You shouldn't ever take any form of vehicle whatsoever. You should just walk. You shouldn't wear flowers or wear perfumes. You should never accept gold or silver from anybody. You would never touch money. And you never cut your hair.
Oh, okay.
So it expresses itself in interesting ways.
And the long not be cut short.
There it is. Okay. Right there. And then they're basically farmers, but in agriculture, because of this concept of Pikuka, they won't keep large domestic animals. They won't use fertilizer on their land. And they won't cultivate the land. They grow rice, but they won't use plows or create terraces like you often see.
On the size of hills, yeah, those
right.
levels, yeah.
Oh, so
boy.
All they'll do is use hoe farming implements, which is like sharpened bamboo, a stick where they used to dig. So it makes life very difficult for them. Most Badwi people, they're very isolated from modern technology even now. What's coming is that they will need to choose between retaining this culture and this concept of Pikuka, or else they're going to have to work to find a balance between the two.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, we had a missionary pilot, Nate Gordon, come in and visit us. And he talked about this image where we think of these people groups as this sort of Shangri-La, untouched, everything good. He says, yeah, everybody thinks about that until you try to use a stone axe to do anything. You know, this sharpened bamboo to do farming and not fertilizing, not doing all these things. The ground is going to eventually not be able to grow food. Like, that's just what happens with farming. And so we need to somehow express love and kindness to get the message of the gospel and to help them. And that's what Nate often talks about, is they brought in tools and they actually blessed and helped. They didn't change the culture, but they did improve things and help people and brought health and wellness. So what do you think? How should we pray for this people group?
Well, one thing I was very excited to read about is that a Bible translation is underway for these people. And with a group of 22,000, that's a pretty good thing that that's happening. Mm-hmm. I think we should definitely pray for the Bible translating, but also that the Badwi would see their culture and traditions are not the thing that they should put their faith in. They won't be saved by praying to their ancestors or observing Pekuka, but what they really need to do is put their faith in the one who came to save them.
Then let's pray for that. Father, we thank you so much for the work that our friends at Bible societies are doing to translate the good news of the gospel, the freeing good news of the gospel, into the language of the Badua. We pray for our friends at Global Recordings Network doing these Bible storyings to bring the messages, the stories, the morals, the worldview, the gospel worldview into this culture. And we just pray that there be a breakthrough by your Holy Spirit to show they can preserve their culture and their traditions. But Lord, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, as is often in these types of groups, there's a little hint, a little evidence of you that's been left in their culture. And I just pray you'd give the skill and wisdom to missionaries working with them to draw this out, to show that you have been part of their culture and that you love them, and then to introduce the person and work of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where do we get the more information on these guys or other unreached people groups, Faye?
To find out more about any unreached people group, go to joshuaproject.net. There's information, tons of useful information that you can find. You can search for them in different ways. And then they also have an app that you can download to your phone.
Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you. You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, if you are a regular listener here to the Mission Compass program, you've heard us talk about the Global Recordings Network. It's one of our parents here at Galcom. Way back, almost 80 years ago, a missionary came home from the mission field and thought, how do I continue to reach people when I can't be there? And Joy Ritterhoff came up with an idea to record Bible stories and to send them on the newest technology around, the record player. And from that, GRN has grown into all sorts of areas. And to give us an update, to give us some news and some excitement about what GRN is doing around the world, is their brand new Canadian director, Mark Griffin. Mark, welcome to the Galcom studios.
Thanks, Tim. What a delight to be with you, and what a great introduction. Can I hire you to do our PR for us?
I'll be your hype man.
That was powerful. I'm excited. I can barely contain myself already.
James Brown used to have his guy come out earlier. James Brown's coming on. GRN, GRN. I'll start hyping you up.
And so. I can just come out with, I feel good. Wonderful. That's wonderful, Tim. Thank you.
When did you join GRN? It's pretty recent.
Yeah, I started October 1st, 2023. So I am literally the newbie. And I had just been with the organization for barely a month, and at the end of October, flew out to Thailand for their general council. They do that every 4 years. But what a baptism, a delightful baptism of fire to be there with all the international offices from around the globe and meet so many people that immediately became my heroes, just hearing their stories, interacting with them. And I'm talking, Tim, top shelf people, full of grace, full of wisdom, just nicest people you'd ever meet, but then to hear the stories of what God's doing around the globe, I couldn't help just get excited. I felt I was fighting laughter and tears most of the time I was there, hearing their stories, getting to know these people, hearing about their families, their backstory. What a delight for me to be with this organization and to serve here. I'm truly honored.
I was honored, privileged to actually attend the meeting almost 5 years ago now, in 2019, and to meet those people you're talking about and completely agree. Working in Pakistan, working in Nepal, areas where you cannot go out publicly and talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So working in what we call creative access countries and the work and the success they're having, it was overwhelming. So yeah, I completely agree. The team, this global team, from GRN is just a remarkable group of people that God has called together. Let's talk about some of them. Anyone in particular, right off the top of your head from those meetings that shared from their country, what God was doing there and how they were getting the gospel through recorded messages, contextualized, culturally sensitive. Just do it so well. So share some stories. Where are we going to start? Africa, Europe, Asia?
Well, I always have to plug into the 1040 window. When we talk about places like China, we recognize you draw a big circle around it. More people live inside that circle than live outside it. When we embrace China, India, Pakistan, we're talking half the world's population right there. So if we head into that region, not the mainland, but some of the island nations just outside of that, Indonesia, the Philippines, for example, we're talking tens of thousands of islands. And of course, What goes with that linguistically are isolated regions that have been basically self-contained, many of them, for centuries. So the outside influence, just the development of what's going on locally, linguistically, it's very isolated and very unique, island to island. You can say it's not just a dialect, but actually a whole different language, especially as this evolves over hundreds and hundreds of years. So consequently, GRN has targeted a lot of these islands, which essentially they're, can I say they're islands unto themselves?
Ba-dum-tsh. Well done. Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Yeah, but the language that goes with them is quite often, we're talking populations of 50, 80, 100,000.
No written alphabet.
Nothing.
No one's, there's no literacy.
Yeah. None. And in some of the outlying towns in those kind of islands, there would be communication, there'd be cell phone. Yes, there'd be some education, but teaching the language of the mainland or the biggest island or the capital city or whatever. So you might have towns, but you get into the hills in these island nations. I talked to one worker at the international retreat in Thailand who shared a story with me. And I said, what was it like the most recent time, a few weeks ago, when you went to take a translation team? Tell me about that story. I was not prepared for the story I heard. They landed on the island. They started to trek inland. And they made their way through what they call gatekeeper villages. And in these gatekeeper villages, again, it's predominantly non-Christian, actually 100% non-Christian, where other religions are predominant. And initially, they're welcomed. Everything's positive. But when they hear they're heading inland, they're like, oh, why do you want to do this? Oh, we're just heading up. And, you know, they try to keep it very much on the down low, try not to draw any attention to themselves for security reasons. So when you're hiking into the upper regions, into these smaller villages, 8, 10, 15,000 people, what are we talking? 3-4 hour hike? No. 3 or 4 day hike. Wow. Camping overnight, you know, and it's hot and it's mosquitoes and it's just quite a situation. I'm like, wow, good for you. That's heroic. Well, some of the people in the gatekeeper villages, I don't know how, but word got out that we were a Christian bunch and they became suspicious and they sent snipers after us. I'm like, what? Snipers? Like stuff like this still happens? And again, I'm familiar with Voice of the Martyrs and I'm very familiar with a lot of the stories of what's going on worldwide, but we're talking fairly developed country here. We're talking, yeah, sure, it's an isolated island, but there's thousands of such islands. The snipers pursued them, but they didn't know until on their third day, hiking into the bush, they started to hear sounds, and they figured out because they also heard bullet sounds before they actually heard the gunfire.
The crack of the,
because it's coming from far enough away. And then they put two and two together and like, oh, we're under fire. So then they took evasive maneuvers. Can you imagine this? So they actually changed their route, went in a different direction, misled the snipers, and then they kind of got back on track heading towards where they were going.
This is a first for Mission Compass. Generally, we're trying to encourage people to get involved in missions. This is going to be a hard sell after this one. Well, join a recording trip and a translation trip with Global Recordings. You'll be in the next action movie.
Don't worry. We're not going to invite many people into this particular horror story. But they did eventually make it to the village. They did do 7 or 8 days in this village doing the recordings. Everything went incredibly well. But then hiking out.
Yeah, what do you do now?
The snipers got on their tail again. They took a different route. They totally changed their plan. They understood on a different part of the island, there was cell phone communications. They could get a signal. So they texted ahead. They got in touch with the sea captain who was picking them up by boat that they had paid for. No problem. Met them in a different location. I'm thinking, is this the price you have to pay to translate scriptural stories into other people's languages? And the guy said to me, well, Mark, when we hiked down that last few hills and we saw a road in the distance, we thought we're safe. And I thought, can you imagine that a road would be such a welcome relief because it represents civilization, population, and the means to get to the port where they were going to catch a boat. Like, we're talking a totally different language to what we're used to in missions trips, where we go and help and hand out rice and hand out, you know.
Do some painting for a church and, you know, do a kids program and everyone welcomes you and they're all excited you're there. And this is the true work of Global Recording. So maybe we skipped over this because I'm so familiar with GRN. Perhaps we should have done a little bit about what's GRN at the beginning. But there's about 17,000 languages, they figure, people groups in the world. Mm-hmm. The major ones have Bibles. Mm-hmm. Minor ones have New Testaments. Wycliffe Bible Societies have done the work. But it's these minority groups that God has called GRN to go to, where you said it was just a couple thousand, you know, 10,000 or less, and you're doing the Bible story. So this is the first time these people are ever going to hear about Jesus and about the gospel principles. And so it is pioneering work. And that's a great picture of this 3-4 day hike to get to this people group that GRN's doing. We're going to talk more stories, but just so people can kind of get an idea, if someone wants to look up GRN while they're listening to us, where do they go on the web to find out about GRN?
You can just do a quick Google search, probably the easiest way to do it, because with all the backslashes, it's complicated. So just look up GRN Canada, Google search that, or Global Recordings Network Canada. That'll take you right to our homepage. Lots of tabs to click on to learn about our history and all the exciting things we do. But as you mentioned, we're trying to hit some of those language groups that have never been hit before. A little tagline we have is GRN, the gospel in every language. You mentioned 17,000 languages. To date, we've translated close to 7,000 of those.
More than any other agency.
Yeah. And basically, as you mentioned, 80 years ago, pioneered this kind of technology, as you said, putting it on the record, LPs, like literally hand pressing records, crank handles. And of course, later that was replaced with batteries and lots of hand cranks through the years.
Cassettes,
and now solar powered. To my knowledge, we never did 8-track. And I thank the Lord for that. Because that was a bad technology.
That would have been a hard manual, like you said, because the record players were hand wind. You'd turn the record manually. You'd turn the cassette things manually. Now you got MP3 players where you wind it to charge. Yeah, the 8-track would have been a tough one.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. We're going to get to another story of a people group, but let's talk more about the technology. So you got MP3 players. We partnered together with our Galcom players with the GRN content, but you have an incredible app. Talk about Five Fish.
Yeah, this for me is a game changer. When I first got involved with the organization, to realize that all that technology, again, 7,000 recorded languages, hundreds of those now extinct or dead languages, we have actively 6,400 and change languages available on the app for free to anybody. So great for you guys. Doesn't matter where you're going in the world, chances are we can help you download the local language onto the MP3 players. You guys are just doing incredible work, working with missions teams, getting the gospel out there. Well, we're just the linguistic side of that, putting things together, doing the recordings, checking the recordings, making sure they're accurate. And again, it's great on the MP3 players. But the neat thing is, Tim, God has brought the world to Canada, to the United States. Those languages are all right here. And the neat thing is, I would like every Christian in Western countries here to be mobilized. And it's easy. Again, you can just search in the App Store, fivefish.mobi, fivefish.mobi, M-O-B-I, and get your hands on this app. And let me encourage you, if you're listening today, to get this app on your smartphone. Because imagine having this kind of access that you can just pick up your phone, talking to somebody in the grocery store. Tim knows I like to play this game. Hey, I hear a bit of an accent there.
I gave Mark the tour of the office here, and as we met different staff members, Dwight detects South African. Where are you from? Scotland? And we have quite an international staff here. So to your point, yeah, you hear an accent, you're in the grocery store, you pull out your cell phone, open your Five Fish app and say,
I have your language on my phone. It freaks people out.
Well, friend, we are at the end of the program today. We'll continue this conversation next week on Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We'd love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.